and horses prancing through dressage routines. The changeling used its simulated Americanness and feminine charm to get close to a couple of the vets, both slightly over 100 years old. One was surprisingly clear-headed and articulate, especially about war. He was against it. After World War II, he had fought in Korea and had no sympathy for it or Vietnam or the dozen smaller wars and fake wars that followed. His World War II assignment to Samoa had been a stroke of luck. The Japanese High Command had at the last minute decided not to invade and occupy the Samoan Islands. The only contact with them in the whole war had been a long-distance burst of machine gun fire from a passing submarine, which hurt no one. He was unaware of the Poseidon Project, though he well remembered the submarine disaster that had provided a pretext for its beginning. Never would have happened if the goddamned fat cats had kept their mitts off Indonesia, a not uncommon opinion which had not kept the United States out of the current conflict there. As part of the international peacekeeping force, that is, which was 88% American and was conspicuously not keeping the peace. The changeling, having practiced its pretty American girl routine on the old man, got her a Holovision news spot. That didn't hurt her job prospects, as it turned out, because it happened to be aired at the same time when the exhausted research team broke for dinner, and Jan recognized her name. Russ probably decided right then that he was going to hire her, just to brighten up the place. The changeling walked all day exploring Apia, aware that it was far from a typical day. No race could play so hard and expect to survive. The next morning it was again rebuffed. Everyone was too busy for interviews. It went back to the B&B and spent the rest of the day searching the web, building a mosaic of such information as Poseidon had parsimoniously released, along with a wealth of rumors and speculation. Some of the speculation was extremely bizarre, ascribing to the project a CIA genesis, or even suggesting that they were all aliens and had made up this ruse to slowly break the news to the human race. The changeling was possibly the most intelligent reader who saw that one and wondered if it just might be true. In fact, though, it wasn't. There were only 2 aliens on the island. Chapter 35. Pago Pago, American Samoa, June 2021. Apia was too local and too small for a killing spree, and the chameleon was getting bored. He left work a few minutes early and took a cab to the little Fagali'i airport outside of town and got on the 6 o'clock puddle jumper over to American Samoa. The 12-passenger plane had 16 passengers, but 4 of them were children sitting on their mother's laps. The flight was only 40 minutes long, but 40 long, bouncing minutes locked up with crying and puking children could turn even a normal man's thoughts to violence. The chameleon distracted himself, conjuring images of infanticide's past. It was still blistering hot at the Pago Pago airport, but worse in town. It had been a bad tuna day. Almost half of the people in American Samoa work in one of the 2 tuna canneries. The plant's malodorous waste goes into the harbor to compete with sewage for one's attention on hot, still days. Darkness brought a breeze, though. The chameleon went down to the waterfront in search of trouble. The area east of the canneries, the dark side, was where to find it. On his way down, he ducked into an alley and came out the other end looking like a rumpled Pakistani sailor. The first couple of bars looked too quiet for fun, catering to the yachties who moored in the cesspool long enough to take on provisions and perhaps avail themselves of the dark side's cheap women and inexpensive drugs. He heard a commotion and went into a dark dive called Goodbye Charlie's. 2 tall and muscular Samoans were standing at the bar, yelling at each other in a couple of languages. The bartender watched them warily, evidently moving bottles and glasses out of reach. The other patrons were looking on with an air of detachment. It might be a regular evening diversion. The chameleon took the only empty seat at the bar and waved an American 20. The bartender sidled over, not taking his eyes off the 2.
"Yeah?"
"I would like a Budweiser and an ounce of whiskey," he said with a pronounced Pakistani accent. The bartender gave him a look and snatched the 20 away.